Yes.
Ooh, it's loud. Day. Was that loud in your ears, Judith? That it's woke me up nice. With the start. It's just nice. Oh no, I was having a little lovely nap then. A lovely little nap. A lovely 9:45 in the morning nap. I can take a nap anytime,
you
Lee.
Can.
I don't care.
Yeah,
I'm a good napper. I'm skilled.
You're skilled
at the nap.
I wish I was better at that.
It's a beautiful day, Judith, here
is
in London.
Not
it is
here in Oxfordshire. Oh,
I thought you were in Cornwall.
No, I had to. No, I got lots of Zooms today. I had to come back yesterday. No, we've had a frost and it's kind of
Judith.
Gloomy and foggy.
Oh, you're living in the wrong place. See, I thought you'd be waking up in Cornwall today. I thought you'd probably still be in your wetsuit. I thought maybe we'd have some sound effects of a woman of a certain age trying to get out of her wetsuit by herself.
Oh, my God. That is impossible.
Some latex peeling noises.
Yeah. Well, you've never had to do it.
Never, ever got into a wetsuit, ever.
Of course you haven't.
No, I haven't.
No, they're strange things. I tell you what's really, really unpleasant.
I have worn PVC trousers, obviously, and leather trousers and leather shorts.
Well, okay, so it might be a similar thing, but actually you get in a wetsuit and you think, oh, well, bloody hell, I can see why people wear wetsuits. This is a breeze. Gosh, I'm cozy.
Cozy.
Not.
Oh, why are you
because
cold
then
now?
What happens is it starts to seep between, you know, between the kind
seams.
Of wetsuit, the seam. Yeah, well, no, it just kind of gets in because apparently that's what it does. It gets in, but then you warm up the water. But that sort of minute or two, when it's just coming
misery.
In, all you taste it. All you taste
the
it.
The misery of that.
Yeah.
You thrash. For that minute, you thrash. You sort of run around and try and make it speed up the process.
Well, it doesn't make any difference, but that is really unpleasant, actually.
I suppose if it was completely watertight, would you just be buoyant? Would you just sort of bob along on the top of the water?
I don't know.
Like a
litter, possibly.
Like a balloon sort of thing. Just, you know, not be able
like
to submerge.
Like a pointless life raft, not very useful life raft.
Yes,
probably would.
Life raft. Okay, so you're back in Oxfordshire. Was Cornwall nice though? Because there was a lovely beach picture.
Which beach was
that on the Instagram?
It's called. You often get this wrong. I think it's called Tregantle, and you know that one you went to with the beach huts and the terribly difficult steps down.
Yeah, very difficult. The dangerous steps.
No, don't go there. Don't go there anymore. We go to the next one along, which is it's a long way down. I mean, it's a really long way back up, I tell you. But it's a very long beach. Lovely. And it was a rainbow. The waves were crashing.
I saw a rainbow on Sunday as well.
Did you?
A
where?
Massive rainbow. That was the end of my Isle of Wight saga.
Oh, was it?
Yes,
right,
there was a rainbow. Okay, so, right, you know, right. I thought when I saw the rainbow, that signifies the end of this episode.
So, come on. Right, now let's hear about the Isle of Wight. You're home at the moment.
I'm home
but you've
now.
Been to the southwest.
Yes.
Okay, tell us about the southwest.
Okay, well,
trip.
Well, I did Exeter and Paignton, and what happened? Okay, I've got myself into trouble this week, and some people will be aware of this story, and some people won't. And I'm really sorry if it gets a bit boring. It's not boring because it has really traumatised me, and I was ill for a day on Monday when I sort of I felt the after effects of all this, and I just crashed. My body crashed, my head crashed, everything crashed. I felt picked upon and loathed. And what happened was we overspent our tour budget on hotels in Exeter and Paignton. It's very easily done these days. And I don't know whether some people will be aware of this. Some people will be blissfully ignorant. But for all of us who are touring at the moment have found that hotels have gone through the roof. You know, there are no bargains to be had. That's because most people are still holidaying in this country. And,
really?
There's a lot of, you know, I think that's what's going on. I don't know, but things have gone up, you know, things that we used to be around the £100 mark have gone up to about 120, 130. Anyway, tour budgets are a very strict thing. And the tour manager, when he signs a budget off, it's his job to keep within the budget. That's his job.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, God.
I do not
right.
book the
right.
hotels. Okay. So really, it's a highly specialist job. And, you know, it's not for me to do because I'd just fuck it up all the time. We'd be forever arriving at places at 10 o'clock with no bookings. You know, it'd be that sort of thing.
Well, yeah, it's not your skill set, is it?
It's not your skill set. And do you know what? I don't want to do it.
No.
I don't want to do it. So everyone who's going to write in going, well, maybe it's best if you do it yourself. I don't want to.
No,
okay.
Well, I've got another job.
I've got another job to do. So anyway, it's just part of a tour manager's thing. That's what they do. They set up the lights, the sound, they drive. You know, if I was driving, I'd be crap at that as well because I don't use motorways. So I would never get anywhere. So I pay for a tour manager.
Yeah, this lovely that, guy that doesn't snack very much.
He doesn't snack. Yeah, yeah. He barely eats. No, and you know, I met his family and they're all 2/3 of a size.
Oh,
they're all,
they?
Yes, oh, tiny. His wife's tiny. God. His son is the most beautiful boy. But, you know, he's smallish. And beautiful, though. I mean, beautiful family. But,
if they don't snack, they would be small.
Yeah, yeah. And I felt, as I said, I feel like Hagrid in the car, but there we go. overspend in Paignton and Exeter. I'd rather fell for Paignton.
I can't picture it. I can't picture Paignton.
Maybe you've never been.
I think I have, but I can't.
Well, I think I'd Google it and have a look at, you know, the best of Paignton. And I think Paignton in the sunshine on a glorious day in autumn is a fabulous thing. And at night, because I was gigging in Paignton, but was staying in Torquay, and it's lit. The promenade is lit like Vegas.
Oh, how gorgeous.
But not like Nice, like the south of France.
How lovely.
It's those pretty, pretty lights, all that. And I love a seaside promenade lit at night. It's just a thing of joy and beauty. Anyway,
yes.
So we've overspent. And so John, to give him his credit, had emailed me some weeks ago saying, how do you feel about a cheap and cheerful on the Isle of Wight? And I just said, yep, absolutely fine with me.
Yeah.
I don't know whether he sent me the link to the hotel. I don't know. I just went, because it'll be full of nice, cheap and cheerful. I thought it would be a B&B, you know, in a little...
Yeah, well, that could be fine. Nice, cheap and cheerful could be absolutely fine.
Just not fussed at all. We've had too posh. We go to a cheap and cheerful. But I expect clean anyway. We arrived at this place and it was so dirty and so derelict and so depressing and so forlorn and so... Just Judith, you know I'm not the cleanest person in the world. You know sometimes you come to my house and you know I haven't put clean sheets on the bed.
Absolutely.
You've no idea how many people have actually stayed in that bed. It could be two, it could be three, it could be seven. It's never seven, Judith. But occasionally I will not have changed the sheets after maybe, say, my nephew Zach has been. Because I know he sleeps in pyjamas. So anyway, I always check. Yeah. But it was just dirty, 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 dirty.
So was it a B&B or was it a hotel?
No, it was a hotel.
It was a hotel.
This is where I hadn't paid attention. It was a hotel.
Okay.
And it just was, I could send you pictures. And I mean, when we arrived in the car park, which was just, you know, one of those car parks where there's just loads of weeds coming through the tarmac and stuff. And there's sort of an empty Coca-Cola can on the lawn.
We
laughed for 10 minutes. We just laughed.
Before you went in, you laughed.
Yeah, felt hysterical, just laughed because it was like, there was no time to get anywhere else because it was 4:45. We had to be at the theatre for 5:30. That's kind of one of the things.
Right.
And then when I went inside, my heart just plummeted and because it was so, so dank and so... It was like a hostel, and I mean, it's really set a sensitive issue now. I don't know whether you're allowed to say hostel anymore, but in our old-fashioned eyes, it was like the hostels in South London that used to be for men that had lost their way.
Did it smell of smoke?
No, it didn't smell of smoke. It's just smelt of old fried food and dirty carpets and just rank. And, you know, I have no complaint about any of the staff whatsoever, although apparently I was rude and condescending, that's what they say, but I have no complaints about them. We just took our keys and I just sat on the edge of this bed in my coat waiting to leave at 5:15 for the theatre. I brought my suitcase back with me and said to John, if there's any way we can find another hotel, let's try and do that. The receptionist at this point said, my daughter runs a hotel, there are spaces. But I looked at that online and didn't fancy that either, to be quite honest. I have photographs of a filthy skirting board, a dead insect on the windowsill when I pulled the curtains, and ripped neck curtains. On the bottom of the lavatory seat, there was a long black hair, and the lavatory was filthy underneath the rim. There was a dead spider on the bathroom floor, and weirdly, this black tube, a sort of four by half an inch tube, that looked like a sort of a biro or something, was just lying there on the floor. I mean, really big enough for anybody to see. You know, it was just weird that that hadn't been picked up.
Well, it hadn't
and
been
it was
cleaned,
just
had it?
No, it hadn't oh, been cleaned. Dear. It just oh, had not dear. Been cleaned.
And what about the bed? What about when you opened the bed?
Well, it was, you know, it was okay. It was fine. There was one soiled pillow, but I always travel with a pillow, so I brought my own pillow in. And I just thought, it's one night, don't be so wet, it's fine. But then when I got back, we couldn't get another hotel. We tried a couple and they were all full. Mm. And, you know, they were happy to go in a Premier Inn. But when I put this on Twitter, my big mistake was I put it on Twitter. I said I seemed to have arrived at a derelict flop house. And I was basically had loads of accusations of being a spoilt cow. And people saying, yeah, you know, there's nothing wrong with cheap and cheerful. And I thought, no, I know there's nothing wrong with cheap and cheerful. Yeah, I do cheap, yeah. You know, and you know, we do Ibises, we do all the Premier Inns, travel lodges. When we've overspent, we make the money up by being mean. Mm, that's what you do. And so, you know, we just sort of thought, right, it's just one night. And then I remembered the hours I was going back that night. So then I made an unfortunate tweet saying, you know, another hour in this dump. And I just offended the island as a whole, really.
Gosh. That's ridiculous, though.
Well, you say that, people are very proud of where they live and they love where they live. And, you know, I'm a stranger that comes ashore and just starts slagging it, you know, somewhere off and all this kind of thing. And the local. And then just before I went on stage, I checked my Twitter and I was made aware that the local paper had run this story. Online.
God, Jenny.
Yeah.
You're joking.
Yeah, no. And the way it was couched was like sort of, you know, claims, you know, comedian claims, all this sort of thing. It made me look like an absolute bitch.
Yeah. And, oh, that's horrible. And just before you went on stage as well.
You know, my heart is in my stomach. And I just sort of think, right, everyone hates me. They all hate me. And then there was a bit in the second half, and they were a lovely audience, in fact. But I was feeling, you know, if I put a foot wrong, you know, they had every reason to kind of rise up and turn on me, you know. So, but in the second half, I was talking about hotels in a bit of the comedy, and I just said, I'm sorry if I've offended anybody, but this hotel is pretty awful. And someone shouted, which one? And for some reason I said, and in the morning, I woke up to a tweet from someone who'd been in the audience just saying, the hotel you're currently staying in was condemned in July 2021 and was closed due to health and safety standards. And I just thought, well, I don't know what it's doing open again.
Well, exactly. Why is it open?
Yeah. Well, apparently they say that the health and safety issues were to do with electricity and gas, and which is, you know, quite frightening. And I mean, it wasn't a hotel where you could get a breakfast. They were serving continental breakfast, which I think just meant cereal and toast. And but we didn't stay for breakfast. We went somewhere so lovely, overlooking this lovely beach near Shanklin, a cafe called Finn's. So if you want to sort of go to the Isle of Wight and have a wonderful breakfast, I suggest you go to Finn's, which overlooks the sea. Is down on the sort of promenade. You have to walk a bit along, park up and walk. And it's run by the best looking staff I've ever seen in my life. So that was a relief.
I'm feeling your sense of relief at getting out of that place.
Just getting out of the hotel, yeah. And it was an ugly situation.
Oh, horrible. But also, I think if you don't feel safe and you don't feel clean, it's very, very, you know, it's terribly unnerving. Really unnerving. It's not a small thing. And also, I think, you know, because you're well known, it's really sad, isn't it?
They said that in the newspaper, they said that I was miffed. They suggested, it wasn't in so many words, that they suggested that I was miffed because the staff didn't know who I was. Well, how is the staff going to know who I am? I'm wearing a mask. There's no reason why they should know who I am. If they don't like that, you know, the sort of thing I do, why would they know who I am? I don't go round sort of expecting everybody to know who the fuck I am. During the show, I said to John, I'm going to have some wine. I'm not obviously not going to drink from that hotel bar. Could I have a bottle of wine? I mean, and I had half a bottle of wine and I tried to watch Strictly on my iPad, but the internet kept buffering out. Jenny. And I just, you know, I was really, really miserable. And I know there are so many lovely places on the Isle of Wight, but it was half term. We'd overspent. We, you know, We made a mistake. We made a terrible mistake.
You know, anybody can do it. But I mean, it's a horrible, ugly incident made worse by Twitter. Absolutely made worse. I just, you know, I'm sorry you had to go through that because that must have been rotten having to go on stage. Also, it's dark. You know, the weekend was dark, wasn't it? It was the beginning
of winter. Suddenly it became winter. Yeah. And everything became that much harder. You're suddenly going from gigging in autumn to we are now in winter.
Yeah, very
and
much
it's,
so.
It's, yeah. And it is harder. Everything gets harder.
And you're enjoying the show, aren't you?
I mean, yeah. And I have lovely 4-star review in the Times as well. Well, it was slightly grudging at points, this 4-star review. It was very nice. And, you know, lots of lovely stars. But there were a couple of lines that made me go, oh, ouch, that's a bit, ooh, ah.
But in a way, actually, a 4-star review that's got some light and shade is probably more...
It does look like they're paying attention.
Well, yeah, it does, yeah, it does. Yeah, and I don't think
so thank you very much to the Times for that. That's very kind.
Good, I will
forgive the phrase superannuated children's entertainer.
Is that what it said?
Yeah, there we go. Anyway,
very good. Are you sitting on that clicky knee?
I've had to clicky knee is dangling. It's dangling. It's hanging by a thread, this clicky knee. Ailment corner. Let's go to ailment corner. I've got over my weird paranoid. So then I was ill for a day on Monday. I crashed totally and utterly. Convinced myself I had corona. Felt very
sorry. Did you?
Yeah, had a thumping
that
headache.
That old thing again.
Yeah.
I haven't done that for a while. Go on. What symptoms did you got then?
Well, I had what I had, of course, was a migraine.
It was
stress related. I had a banging headache, and then I felt my chest felt tight, and what that was anxiety. Yeah. So anyway, I woke up yesterday feeling much better. My knee is difficult.
Well, I hope you've stopped sitting on it in that stupid way that you you have been over the years.
It's so difficult because it's so learnt, you know.
I know. I've seen you do it. I've seen you do
and
it.
And I sleep like that as well sometimes.
Do you?
As well, yes. I sometimes curl my legs back into the weird, it's like a frog, really. Yes.
I'm trying to picture that. I can't picture
that. Yes. Well, imagine you've got your legs down and then you bring your heels to your hips.
Oh, I know what you mean. Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. You do that in bed. How peculiar.
Yes, sometimes.
Well,
yes, I've had to stop
that. You've got to stop doing that.
And then
that.
I thought maybe I had something like called bursitis, but I looked it up and it's quite a visual thing. And I said, I haven't got bursitis.
Oh, now that's interesting. But I've been attracted by bursitis. Do you know
have
what I mean?
You? It's a good word, isn't it, bursitis?
It's not bad. It's not bad.
Yeah.
It's been on my radar.
Yeah, it sounds like what it is, in fact.
Isn't it something to do with your lower back kind of joint or something?
No, it is joint related, but it's swollen. It can be anywhere. It can be ankles, backs. And there's sort of a bag of fluid kind of collects that looks like it might burst. That's what it looked like to me.
But not in a spot way. Not in a squeezing.
Yes, in that way. It looks like you've got a bag of fluid that, yeah. But, you know, it would be very dramatic if it did go. But anyway.
Indeed.
So that's me health-wise, Judith. I'm all right. I'm soldiering on. How about you?
I've booked my flu jab at Boots because they keep running out. Have you had yours?
Yes, I've had it. I had it right early on, first day that it was available. Yep. I did. Went down my pharmacy.
Got mine. Waiting for my call about the booster COVID thing. Obviously, haven't.
Yes.
My number's
has it
not
been
up
6 months for you?
It has actually near. No, I think there's another week, but it must be pretty close.
Okay, okay. Because if it's been 6 months, I think you can go online and book your own.
Oh, can you?
Yes,
I
think so.
I might do that. But I'm waiting to speak to the doctor today, Jenny, because the nice doctor, obviously.
Yes, yes.
You know, my friend.
Yes. The friend to all the middle-aged ladies of the village.
Yes, it's a great cue. We all want to speak to him. Yeah. Because I think he said quite like to go on statins, so I rang him up.
Why do you think you need statins?
Well,
though,
because I'm getting old, and I think, you know, people around me of my age are having, I don't know, they're having the odd stroke and the, you know, I suppose, a bit of, you know, high blood pressure. My mum died of a heart attack. My grandmother did. So, and I've got friends
but
who
have
on statins.
But have you got high blood pressure?
Not really.
Well, then they won't. I'm not sure they'll put you on statins.
Well, Listen,
okay.
You're talking to a past master here, Jenny.
Okay.
All right. Did a bit of research because a lot of my. Because I don't, you know, you don't lose anything by being on statins, I don't think. And that means that you sort of, you are kind of legislate, you know, what's that word? You know, you are at least kind of doing something about the possible risk. Anyway, I've done a bit of research and I think there are various risk factors. So I've had a preliminary chat with him. I thought he might just put me on them straight away because he is terribly nice, but he didn't. And I'm very borderline, Jenny. I kind of upped my weight a bit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I downed my exercise a bit. I did a bit of adjustments.
Yeah, which is completely not what anybody else ever does.
No, of course
in the doctors.
But I'm a hypochondriac, you know, so obviously that is
so
my
pattern. So I'm 17 stone and I go out every 2 weeks.
Yes, I don't do any exercise. Didn't tell him about the cold swimming. And a borderline, okay? So I've been in with some extra tests and I'm waiting for the results. And
was
I'm
this
very,
blood
very
test?
Much
did
open.
You have...
Yes.
But if your blood tests say that you don't need them, then you don't need them. It just means that you're in very good nick and you should be very proud of yourself.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Apparently with the risk of in my family, I am quite borderline.
You pushed yourself over the edge.
I did, just a little bit. I'm right on the edge there. So I'm hoping I might.
And did they weigh you in the doctors or did you weigh yourself at home?
No, they weighed themselves at home. Oh, what stupid.
I haven't got scales in my house. I wouldn't have them in my house. No, I think they're atrocious things. I don't want to know. I'm not interested. I just don't think they're healthy. I think people get obsessed by
I know what you mean, but, you know, sometimes.
No, if I had to get weighed in the doctors and then, you know, it's all that thing of taking your boots off and everything. And did you keep your boots and your coat on when they weighed you at the doctors?
Oh, no, you did at home.
Okay, right. Well, then keep us posted on the statin studio.
I will.
Because you're not on any meds, are you?
Not really, no. You know when you know that thing when you kind of... when you've rung 111, which occasionally I have done, and they say what medications you want. I said, well, not really. I don't think I am really.
Well, what do you mean, not really? Something.
Well, okay, so I take vitamins and I take.
Oh, stop it! That's not drugs.
No, they don't count, do they?
No,
not really. On any
they're not
drugs
prescription
at all.
Drugs. Oh, well, I'm on loads. I've got two forms.
What you want? Yeah. How could I not know this? How do I not know this about you?
I'm high risk. I'm very high risk. I will take HRT to my grave.
Oh, of course you will.
I'm on that. I am on two forms of high blood pressure medication. I'm on Candesartan and Idapamide, which I have to take every single day. And if I run out, the pharmacist gets really upset and they go, no, you've got to have these. You've got to have these.
Bloody hell.
And I say, well, you have to get them for me then. And they say, well, we can't get them right now, but we will lend you some. And there's sort of this ridiculous situation. So anyway, yes, I'm on
two forms. That how could I not know that? Well, you so why aren't you on statins? You'll be on statins soon, won't you?
Well, I don't know because maybe my medication is instead of statins. I don't know, maybe later on I'll get statins too, but I don't think my dad did statins, and I'm physically very like my dad, and I'm ending up on all the pills he ended up on,
including the clicky knee. He had a funny knee, didn't he?
Oh, well, he had no knees in the end because he had them both out and plastic ones put in, and he'd sit by the fire and they'd melt. That's what happened with my dad.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I've told you this before. You could smell them going soft. It was like plasticine.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Do they still do plastic ones or are they all metal now?
I don't know. My friend Vanessa's had two new knees done. I must chat to her about them and see, because they've been a miracle for her. Anyway, so Cornwall, what were you doing in Cornwall?
I was down in Cornwall doing a lot of kind of DIY and maintenance, really. Mike didn't come. Mike didn't want to come because, apart from the fact, he didn't want to be bossed around by me. Because it can be quite bossy when it comes to DIY. I had to let the electrician in. I had to let the plumber in. I had to do, you know, quite a lot of painting. It was exhausting, actually. And... The only thing I really enjoyed about that was I bought a Kärcher. I never know how to pronounce it.
Yeah, I think it's Kärcher.
Oh, possibly Kärcher. You know those yellow, sort of that range of...
And is it an indoor one?
It's a carpet cleaner. You did say that already. Yeah, it's obviously indoor carpet cleaner.
Yeah.
But it's a really... It's brand new, okay? So it arrived... Now, this is a problem, because normally I would have set Mike onto this while I got on to doing something that I wanted to do. It was just me. And I mean, have you tried to put something together like that recently?
No.
Jeff would
probably do it all. Because I haven't got any carpets in the house, but I've got one filthy rug that needs cleaning. Oh, wow. I want my sofa cartering. So I think you can carter your sofas, can't you, with the
thing you probably
you
can. Well, you want me round with the carter.
Well, I don't. I want a professional, Judith. I'm not having you flailing around. Smashing windows with a great big heavy bit of machinery.
Oh, it was hard work, honestly. It was really bloody hard. I opened the thing and, I mean, basically all the instructions were just basically a description of all the parts. You know, you had to put your glasses on, a massive description of every single part. Did it tell you how to put the bloody thing together? No, it did not. It obviously assumed that you would understand. Well, I didn't. And so eventually I went on that. You know those lovely people that do the YouTube things at home?
Yeah, everything is explained on YouTube.
Extraordinary.
Everything. It's incredible.
So I put the model number in, you know, show me how to da-da-da-da. And this lovely, you know, this lovely guy with some strange purple hair, did it bit by bit. And so I sort of did exactly what he said, except that there was one bit which I couldn't really see properly. And I obviously hadn't kind of jammed it in. So I switched the fucking thing on and it spurted water everywhere. At least it wasn't dirty, but it did.
Yeah.
So it wasn't foolproof, as in Judith proof, but I did get there. And I tell you what, now it was only satisfying once I opened the lid and I could see the state of the water.
You couldn't even see the difference. You couldn't see the difference until you saw the scuzzy water.
Exactly.
And then, a filthy bath. Yes.
A filthy bath. But no, seriously, filthy bath. Because the ones I've used before, you see, which we were borrowed from neighbours, but I got to the point where I couldn't keep borrowing it from the neighbours. You'd put the thing on and you'd see all this black stuff going up the tube into the thing.
Yeah, and that's what you want. That's very satisfying. You want to see through tube, don't you?
You do. So you can see it's like that's squeezing a great big spot.
Yeah.
But yeah, very satisfying when I opened it. I mean, it looks all right, but it's, oh God, it's hard work. It's hard work, isn't it, DIY? I mean, it's bloody hard work.
Yeah, well, I don't do it, to be honest. You know, mind you, we haven't finished that room upstairs.
Oh.
Because there's a problem with plumbing the bath in. It needs a sort of...
Oh, no, Jenny. Really? That's boring, isn't it?
I know, considering that we chucked the old one out and someone ran off with it. You know, if the old one was still in the front garden, we'd be all right. You know, it's kind of, you know, it's the dumb thing, isn't it? If you lose something in your front garden, that it's basically saying, please take me.
Well, absolutely. But presumably you wanted them to do that, did you?
Yes,
you
absolutely.
Because
it takes, you know, 10 grand off a house, doesn't it, when you have a bath in the front garden?
It's really, not a good look.
Standing on its side, you know, looking a bit shit. So this new bath has got to go in, but it needs a piece of... And Bodge's busy on another job now. So we're just we're in a hiatus. Yeah, well, slightly, yeah. But I have to say the white painted floor is a bit of a triumph.
Is it?
I mean, we haven't tried walking across it yet,
obviously. Or dragging a wheelie case. Or going in there with a carpet cleaner that's not behaving.
There will be no wheelie cases in that top room, I know. It could be a silly idea, but anyway.
Oh, it'll be beautiful.
Fortunately, having viewed a couple of houses with Phoebe, I've got some other optional ideas for flooring, which I picked up from... we saw a house yesterday, fabulous, and cork flooring, varnish.
I remember cork flooring.
Yeah, really,
from
really.
The
70s. Yes, really. And it just looks, it really, yeah, really very, very nice indeed. And I just thought, if it all goes tits up upstairs, I'm going for cork flooring. Yeah, so there we go.
Well, who'd have thought that cork flooring is back in fashion? Well,
it was in a 60s house, I have to say. I don't know whether it was the original, whether they've just sort of, you know, gone back to the original kind of styling of it.
Clever,
anyway,
though,
it's,
either way.
Yeah,
because it was
really
always nice and warm, wasn't it, underfoot?
Yeah, well, it's just a really hard-wearing, brilliant thing.
Clever,
cork is brilliant, in actual fact. So there we go.
That's very exciting.
Exciting. I'm not interfering, Judith. I'm really not. I can't because it makes me feel sick. Well, of course. Well, I went out with her yesterday, didn't I? Pushy, pushy, pushy I was.
Did you? Did you? Was the agenda rather high and visible?
The agenda was going to, we're going to find a house. Come on, let's get on with this. And I do think that, you know, they'd be daft not to put an offer in on a certain property, but it's nothing to do with me, so I just have to wait with bated breath.
Yeah, that's all I can do.
Yeah, I mean, this is, I mean, it's not quite as sort of intense as what you're waiting for, which is, you know, the twins, and you, I mean, it, you must have be straining now at the leash, you know, debating whether to say things, you know, offer things.
I've already overstepped the mark. I know I've overstepped the mark because Ellen sent me a WhatsApp, an individual WhatsApp the other day.
Just to me.
Basically to say, right, I've talked to Sienna, back off, Mum. You need to back off. She doesn't want to talk about how, you know, how it's all going to work yet. It's too early, so just back off in the capital letters. Okay. So yeah, I've already, I'm back in my
Well, that's very sweet of Ellen to kind of do the refereeing. And it's actually really good of Sienna to involve, you know, a third party, instead of rounding on you. It's the kindest way. So well done, both girls.
I've got to learn my lesson.
And you've got, but you were probably only trying to help. You were probably, the thing is, do they have a cot each or do they share one at first?
Well, they have a cot each, they have a car seat each, they have a Moses basket each, they have a, you know, jiggly around when they're kind of, you know, you just want them to keep them busy while you're trying to get on with life, one each. I mean, God knows where all this stuff is going to go, you know, in the house. So, yeah, no, but you see, this is the problem, isn't it? This is the problem of being a mother, because I lie awake at night and think, now, I tell you what, if they move that sofa into that other room, and then what they could do is they could put a changing mat in the corner, and then and instead of actually waking up and thinking, nope, Judith, that's just your thoughts, wait till you're asked, I can't help myself. You know, a little cheery little WhatsApp goes to Sienna. Hello, darling, how are you? Oh, by the way, just up to you. I preface it with up to you. But I was thinking, she must see those words. Both of them must see those two phrases. Think, oh, here we go. You know,
I don't think, I mean, a lot of people sort of did that changing mat thing quite seriously. I never had a changing mat station. I just had a mat.
Oh, I had two.
No, I just chucked a mat down wherever I wanted to.
You were younger, though. I think you were younger. Oh, God, that sounds backbreaking to have it on the floor.
That's always been my thing, hasn't it? I've always been able to crouch.
Yes, you have actually.
I'm actually much better on the floor than in a half bend. The idea of half bending over a table to me is hell on my lower back. But if I have to sort of squat right down, I'm happy. I didn't have a changing station or anything. I didn't really have space for that sort of thing. And I had Phoebe in a flat, first of all. We were in a flat for a year.
Did you?
I mean, it was a big flat. It was a lovely flat. It really was. Yeah,
was it?
Really lovely Georgian flat. We were so fortunate. I mean, I was fortunate to move in on Jeff. I mean, he'd bought it with his wife, his first wife, who then did a runner. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You were right in there, were you?
I was right in there, Judith. I waited. I mean, I didn't meet him until, fortunately, because he bought a wreck. It was a wreck, this Georgian flat. And fortunately, his wife never slept in it. They split up before they moved in together.
Oh, what an ideal situation, Jenny.
Well, yes, in some respects. Yeah. Although I think for him, he thought, shit, I've just bought this flat that's meant to be for us as a, you know, married couple, and I'm no longer a part of a married couple. But I came along within the year to sort all that out and sort of moved in on him. No, it was a lovely flat. I was very fortunate. So we are now going to Culture Corner. I am not great on telly, but you're into Succession, aren't you?
I am. We are so into Succession. I think we've only seen two. Third one is out. They're actually drip feeding us, you know.
Oh, they're not doing them in a sort of great big load.
You can't just download them. No.
Oh.
You have to wait for it, which is...
Oh, like in the olden days.
Like in the olden days. It's very frustrating. So, oh my God, it's good. And, but apparently, because there's this really sweet guy who's kind of the only person in the cast who's sort of nice, and he's tall, and I suppose he's in his early 30s, I guess. Can't remember that he's called Greg Cousin Greg, and he's kind of, you know, he gets things wrong. He's likeable, but apparently there's a sex toy that you can get in the States which activates when he comes on screen.
So is this something you insert into your vagina
and
then when his voice yeah, comes on the screen. Be. It starts buzzing or something.
I know. Exactly. Ah. It's opening up a whole new avenue, isn't it, of gadgets, really. But you'd never be able to... I mean, you wouldn't be able to program it, would you? Can you imagine?
You wouldn't be able to get off the sofa, Judith. Never mind programming it. Anyway... I'm on episode eight of Squid Game, but Jeff hasn't. He's only done one, so he's sort of so behind. I'm going to I have to watch one at lunchtime. Watched an episode of something called Show Trial set in June.
Oh, yes.
Have you seen it?
Yes, me too.
Well, okay. So what I don't understand is there's a ball, a summer ball at a university. Yep. And then the investigation starts after a girl goes missing. Why is everybody wearing winter coats?
Oh, God, they are, aren't they?
Yeah.
Oh, get you with your continuity.
I just think, hold on, we know that summer balls at universities happen in June, no later.
Well, it says that at the beginning, doesn't it, with the dateline.
Absolutely, yeah. Oh, and then, you know, this turns up in a great big camel coat, and you just think, it's God, Bristol, yes. love, it's not God. The Outer Hebrides or whatever.
It's shaping up well, though, isn't it?
Well, I think so. Series. Yes, I think the girl who's been arrested on the murder charge is really fascinating.
Isn't she?
And quite enjoying, but I didn't enjoy it last night, Impeachment, which is the story about Monica Lewinsky, which I think is a really, really important story and needs brilliant telling. And I don't know whether this is the ultimate brilliant telling of the story. There's this actress called Beanie Feilstein who's playing Monica Lewinsky, and I really like Beanie. She's in this film. She broke through in a brilliant film, Booksmart, which is a lovely coming-of-age friendship film. And she's a great actress, and I really think this story is vital. It's vital that, you know, younger women watch it, because it is how a woman was picked apart for sucking off a president. She was reviled around the globe, and nobody at the time thought to blame the fucking president.
And he got away with it. I did not have sexual relations with that woman. I mean, but I will never forget that, will you? Straight down the lens, straight, I mean, that, oh, the cheek of it.
In his head, he meant, I did not penetrate her.
Exactly.
He made her do all the work, mostly on her knees. And in the end, do you remember the evidence of the blue dress?
I know, that went to the dry cleaners. Yeah. Did they get it before it went to the dry cleaners?
I'm not sure, but it was a spunk stain, wasn't it? Basically.
It was.
It got down to that. It was such a sort of grubby little story.
I know.
And it was just... And in the end, there were loads of... But having listened to Rodham, which is the book by Curtis Sittenfeld, which is the fictionalised account of Hillary Clinton's career in life, which hints very heavily at... Bill's peccadilloes. I know it is a work of fiction, but it's based very much on fact.
Because it can't just be a one-off, can it? It can't have been just one-off.
Because there were loads of women that came out of the woodwork and all that kind of thing, and mostly were treated like shit and all this. But it just shows how far we have had to come in not a very long time in our generation.
Yeah.
This sort of women, the victim blaming that was going on back then. It's a very good, you know, even if it's not the best that it should be, it's a really important thing to watch, so you've got some historical reference to, you know, how things have hopefully, fortunately, changed a bit. Anyway, it's a very, very important story.
What channel is it on?
It's called Impeachment, and it's on BBC Two, so you can catch up on iPlayer. And I just think historically, it's quite an interesting story.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very much so.
What about Books, Judith? Books.
Well, having said that, I wouldn't do any more autobiographies. I was attracted by Jack D's new one, which I think is called Thanks for Nothing. And I love Jack D.
Is he nice? I haven't seen him for a long, long time, but, you know, back in the day, he was in the 90s when we were on the circuit together. Yes, very nice man, married a very nice woman, and just seems to have handled fame and family and work and real life very well.
Yeah. It's as you would expect, really. His wonderful sort of delivery, and yeah, I'm enjoying it. I am enjoying it very much. It's making me laugh a lot, and I like him.
Well, incidentally, me and the tour manager are listening to Bob Mortimer's biography. And we're listening to that on the road, and it's quite interesting because the tour manager tour managed Vic and Bob on their last thing. So, yeah, I mean, he's very discreet. He doesn't tell me, you know, much.
Oh,
I know, but it is. I occasionally squeeze the odd bit of info.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
But no, he's a big fan of Vic and Bob. And
it's really lovely
listening to Bob's voice, reading his own book. It's great. And I've started a great new book by Amor Towles. Now, I haven't read any or listened to any male literature, male fiction for a long time.
Amor Towles, what a strange name.
Isn't it? I don't know where it's from. He wrote a book that was very successful that I think might have been on Camilla Parker Bowles' book club called A Gentleman in Moscow, which was quite a big hit. But this one is called The Lincoln Highway.
Right.
Set in the 50s, and I'm loving it. It's about a young man who's recently come out of the correction centre, going home, and the events that follow.
Is that set in the States or set here?
It's very, very... The Lincoln Highway is a real highway. Clues in the title, Judith. otherwise, it'd be, you know, the M6.
A38.
Yeah. It's just, anyway, it's no, I didn't say what it was, but it is very, very American. So and I am really, really enjoying it. I think I've been looking for this kind of book for a while.
I don't know how do you choose what to read? Because it is astonishing the amount of stuff you get through. But how do you select what you do?
I read loads of book reviews. I check out the Times. I check out Red Magazine. I think Red Magazine have a very good book editor. I follow people on Twitter who are bookish, and I do sort of short lists, and then I do spend some time, because I do get very depressed when I haven't got a great book.
Oh, well, absolutely. And you don't want to invest in something that's not going anywhere. So no, actually you are very good actually at recommending books.
Yeah, but I wouldn't recommend this for everybody. Like loads of things I read, I know that sort of, you know, probably a third of the people that are listening would really enjoy it, and two thirds would go, meh. And that's unfortunate. I think it is very hard suggesting.
It is, isn't it? I know,
yeah,
it is. Very personal thing, which is the trouble with book clubs, of course.
Absolutely.
Is. It's a tricky one.
Onto the emails now.
Yes.
A lot of people on the notice board are making your Christmas cake, Judith. I know it's not your Christmas cake, but it's kind of becoming your Christmas cake.
It is, isn't it? I know.
You've kind of taken it off Mary Berry. And now because people go, yes, Judith, now that you've made your Christmas cake, which Christmas cake is it, Judith?
Which one?
Can I copy you, Judith? Which one is it?
I feel like that girl in domestic science that everyone is saying, oh, look at her. Hers has turned out well, hasn't it?
You're like Jürgen from Bake Off. That's what you're like. So we have had some lovely...
oh, we have. By the way, did you see the one from Martha, 62 and 4 months? And she says she actually wants the quiz. You know, the quiz.
Everyone wants the quiz.
I know.
I mean, I jokingly said last week that we'd set up a quiz so that people could get 10% off your holiday rental in Cornwall, which is, again, remind us what the name is. It's called...
It's www.cornishhideaway.co.uk.
Yeah.
It's available for Christmas and New Year, by the way, at the moment.
Oh,
quite a few people in the gang have booked.
That's good. That's good, Judy.
Yeah, which is great. So yes,
I'm thinking we should do a Christmas quiz, not for the hideaway, not for the apartment in Cornwall.
Well, because they can get the rejection anyway.
Yes, but just for fun, I think we will do a Christmas quiz. I think that'd be sort of the week before Christmas. So when you listen, we'll give you plenty of warning, but get a pen and a piece of paper. There will be no prizes. There'll be absolutely really no point to it whatsoever. And anyway, my mate Michelle, who lives up in Hebden Bridge, has already guessed 10 of the answers.
She genuinely has.
She sent the answers to the quiz. 1, coleslaw. 2, chafing. 3, poppy. 4, Jeremy Clarkson. 5, washing up bowl. 6, dry eyes. 7, June. 8, Cornwall. 9, trouser press. 10, soup.
Brilliant,
then she goes, have
it?
I won? Michelle, you have won.
You're so
We are going to set up a longer version of that.
Shall we do that?
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Okay, we're going to do it. I can't wait. I love quizzes. Yeah, okay. So that is our plan. We will be setting a Christmas challenge. So what we're always suggesting now is that you actually listen more carefully. Oh, maybe take notes while the podcast is going on. And possibly, you know, revisit some past episodes if you've missed any out. Yeah.
Up our figures, you mean, at the same time? Up the audience figures. Yes, oh, yeah, nicely done.
We will love you and leave you. Judith, what have you got on your to-do list today? And what's on Mike's to-do list?
Oh, he's got quite a long list. He's got quite a long list, actually. And, yeah, the sun's shining, actually. It's just started. It's just coming out, I can see. So I'm going on my bike. And, yeah, that's what I'm up to. What are you going to do?
I don't know. I've got a day off and I feel a bit... I don't know. I don't know what to do. It's a bit strange, isn't it?
Well, get
it's
the paints a lovely out. Day. Why don't you get the paints out?
No, I got my paints out the other day and I did really bad painting. It was too bad to even put on the Instagram. I'm really, it's just... No,
it
some
happens.
Days it doesn't happen, yeah, does it? I know, and it I get really upset. Anyway.
I know, but you... yeah, yeah.
And it's a beautiful day, so I'm thinking Peckham Rye for a little walkette. Yeah, I'll find something. I've still got some writing to do for a project.
All right, so listen, lovely to talk to you.
Yes,
ditto.
And thank you, Daisy. And thank you, Daisy. And thank you, Judith. And
thank you, gang. Thank you, gang.
And
have
we'll
a nice
be
day.
Back with you next week. Lots and lots of love. Thanks, have a great week.
Yeah. And bye, gang. And bye, Jenny.
Bye.